60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I thought we'd bump that percentage up to like 62. Come back with us. We're back. Matt Rothschild, sitting to my left. He is the author of a fine new book, 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin. And we're going to talk about a few of these ways. We're going to give away an autographed copy of this fine book to one of our callers this hour. And so far, I've only taken one. So be patient. We're going to take some more calls. But I've got a little update on the Gableman story, the corrupted former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice, who's now the investigator-in-chief of the, rigged election. It was a rigged election, but somehow you're mischaracterizing my words. That's what the man said. He called it rigged. You know, it's only rigged in the perspective that Zuckerberg gave money to 5 Democratic cities, or at least that's the way they would characterize it. But Matt Rothschild, you and I pay attention, and we know there were like 200 communities in the state of Wisconsin. But it's playing out on Right Wing Talk Radio. Gableman is a frequent guest on Right Wing Talk Radio, and you only get to hear one side of the story. And of course, the Right Wing Talk Radio host also acted as witness in the voter election integrity committee hearing where only Republican representatives got to give testimony. Matt, it's getting very fishy up in here.
Yeah, and these public hearings that are by invitation only, and they're only right-wingers like Dan O'Donnell or Gableman who get invited, and Democrats can't have their own witnesses, and God forbid the public gets to say anything at a public hearing.
Well, and he went after one of the journalists who actually got to write up the story about it, Patrick Marley. What did he say about Patrick Marley from the Journal Sentinel, the paper of record? Do you recall?
He was slandering Marley about 3 times while I was listening, once calling him an activist, not a journalist, and criticizing the Journal Sentinel, Marley's employer, kind of in Trump-like language, saying it's no longer a great newspaper. And saying that, you know, Marley was going after him for all sorts of ridiculous things. You know, like every bully I've ever met, Gableman is thin-skinned, and he can't stand any criticism.
I bet he got made fun of a lot as a kid, portly fellow that he is. Reporting from Patrick Marley, indulge me briefly, Matt. Michael Gableman, as part of his election review for Republicans, hired one investigator who has sought to overturn the presidential results, and another who this year worked closely with a felon to examine Wisconsin ballots. In hours-long testimony before the Assembly Committee, Gableman on Wednesday said he made legal filings this week against the mayors of Green Bay and Madison because he believed they had not cooperated with him. However, according to Marley, there are no records of the filings that could be found on the state's online database. You know, perhaps they're moving slow over there. Gableman, a former state Supreme Court justice, also insisted he was properly reimbursed by taxpayers for the cost of his travel this summer to South Dakota. That was to go out to, the cybersecurity Mike Lindell event? And he also went to Maricopa County, Arizona to observe the cyber ninjas.
You know what he said he was in Arizona for? To save Wisconsin taxpayers' money so that we don't have to spend $6 million or $8 million like they did in Arizona.
But the Assembly Speaker, Robin Voss, who tasked him with this investigator title, said the taxpayers weren't going to have to pay his freight to go out and, you know, do this. But apparently they did. A little bit more here. Gableman used his testimony to attack Democrats, election officials, and a suddenly incurious press. He complained that Democratic lawmakers wouldn't meet with him in private and accused election officials and the mayors of Green Bay and Madison, those are in Wisconsin, of trying to run and hide from accountability to the to the citizens they're supposed to serve. The officials whom he targeted disputed that characterization, saying they'd responded to his inquiries appropriately.
I mean, God forbid they
throwing them away.
God forbid they hire lawyers, which is their right still in Wisconsin. I would think a former Supreme Court justice would recognize that.
Now, it was stated to me, and I have not verified the veracity of this statement, Matt, but my understanding is he claimed he had made appointments to go and meet with Democratic leaders, and the Democrats no-showed his ass.
Well, that's what he said, but one representative had said, you know, she was only going to meet with him in public, that they had decided that they were going to meet only with him in public, and he wanted to meet with them in private, and so they decided not to do that.
One last thought here. The Voters Alliance brought the lawsuit out to try and overturn the election. And a guy named Ron Heuer, H-E-U-E-R, is the guy that Gableman finally acknowledged. He acknowledged all of his staff, only keeping one staffer anonymous at this point. I don't know why, but this Ron Heuer has helped push a lawsuit here in the state of Wisconsin. The Voters Alliance brought the lawsuit with the help of the conservative Thomas More Society and the Minneapolis law firm of Mormon, Cardell and Erickson. Now, Cardell is a Trump-associated lawyer. He came to the Wisconsin State Capitol. I interviewed Cardell. Not a real bright bulb. Gableman is sharing office space with the society and the law firm.
Right.
So he's sharing. This is supposed to be an independent investigation. And he's sharing office space with the firm that's trying to overturn the election results. And his explanation, you know, for the office share arrangement, I try to treat the taxpayers' money as if it's my own by being prudent and cautious with it. He's just saving us money, Matt.
Yeah, but essentially, though, the taxpayer, you, the listener, and Crudy and me, and Fancy Brian, our taxpayer dollars are now subsidizing the Thomas More Society and this law firm that was trying to say the legislature in Wisconsin, not the Wisconsin Elections Commission, should ratify the election.
Who's paying the light bill? 844-967-2789. Going to the phones and all the fine people that want to win a copy of 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin. Matthew Rothschild's fine new book. You get an autographed copy if you're super cool and you impress the judges. Careful, the Russians never happy. Jeff from Madison, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, gentlemen. Matt, I got a question for you. With yesterday's ruling from the Wisconsin Supreme Court about the gerrymandered maps, is there anything else that can be done, or are we hosed for the next 10 years?
Hey, Jeff, good question. We're not hosed for the next 10 years because the Wisconsin Supreme Court may not be the ultimate arbiter here.
What was the ruling, Matt? It was I'll lay out the ruling, and then you tell me where you think we're going from here.
It was a horrible ruling.
Wisconsin Supreme Court basically adopted the Republican position. 10 years later, they want to keep the boundaries basically where they're at, where they've locked in legislative control, the most partisan gerrymandered in the nation, perhaps. Well, 10 years ago, they made massive variations from existing boundaries. So now that they've got the map they want to lock in, they went to the courts and said, well, this should be your goal. And by a 4-3 decision, the Wisconsin Supreme Court said, yeah, we like your idea of Republicans.
Yeah, they like the basic idea. They didn't take the Republicans' maps that were ran through the legislature and that Evers vetoed. Instead, they went back to the original 2011 maps and say, we're going to make the least amount of changes here as possible, which was essentially the same philosophy that Voss used in drawing the new maps that were vetoed. And it was just, there's nothing in statute or in our Constitution or in precedent here in Wisconsin that says that's the way you should be drawing the maps if you're a judge or a justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And, of course, obviously, it's locked in the rigged maps, as you were saying, Crudy, from 2011, which a federal panel of judges had said were unconstitutional and that no one in Wisconsin should have to endure another election under those rigged maps. And that was back in January of 2016. If the Wisconsin Supreme Court has its way, this is going to be enduring elections that are under rigged maps until 2030 or beyond. That's what's crazy about it. But there is a lawsuit in federal court right now.
Yeah, let's talk about that. The Republicans would love for their partisan-controlled state Supreme Court to make the ruling and decide upon the maps, but that's not the precedent. That's not the way typically it's been done. And, you know, 10 years ago, the Republicans got to cast all the control. But historically, it's been a judicial board on the federal side, if I remember my history, Matt. What do you think the likelihood the federal court is going to insert itself with the supremacy clause?
Well, there are some real federal issues here, including the Voting Rights Act and whether the map that the Wisconsin Supreme Court ultimately draws is in accord with the Federal Voting Rights Act. And so I think that may be the safest grounds for litigants to take it into federal court and tell the federal court, you've got to jump in here because the Wisconsin Supreme Court has drawn a lousy map that is disenfranchising Latinos and African Americans. And at that point, the federal court will take over.
Jeff, appreciate your call. Next up is Jack on the phones at 844-967-2789. Merrimack checking in. Jack, say hi to my pal Matt Rothschild.
Hi, Matt Rothschild.
Hey, Jack.
It seems to me that the Supreme Court of the state of Wisconsin basically has thrown out our constitution in the state. They have accepted the lame duck session legislated limits on what the governor and the attorney general can do. Now they have essentially thrown out the veto power of the governor because they just basically said, well, we're not going to accept that as veto. We're going to just take what the legislature has done. Besides voting different justices on that Supreme Court, is there anything else, anything we can do about this? I mean, they're basically throwing out the whole Constitution of the state of Wisconsin in terms of separation of powers, in my opinion. I'm not a lawyer, but that's what it sounds like.
Well, Jack, I think they are throwing out the Constitution that says the will of the people is the law of the land, the Constitution here in Wisconsin, like our federal Constitution that says, you know, we have the right to freedom of assembly and freedom of speech, and this gerrymandering is taking our freedom of speech and assembly away because they're making it much harder for us to assemble if we're Democrats and to speak if we're Democrats. They're muffling our voices by jamming us into as few districts as possible. That was kind of the essential dissent from Elena Kagan in the big U.S. Supreme Court case a couple years ago. But those arguments can be made as forcefully here in Wisconsin. The Republicans or the conservatives on the Wisconsin Supreme Court didn't want to hear those arguments, didn't want to entertain the question as to whether hyper-partisan gerrymandering is an offense to the Wisconsin Constitution. They didn't even ask the question of the litigants, though, to respond to that. They just declared that hyperpartisan gerrymandering in Wisconsin, we can't say whether that's a good or bad as far as our Constitution goes. And that's too bad. And Judge Dallet, in her dissent, Justice Dallet said they should have, if they were going to address that question, they should have asked the litigants to address it first. And she also said this is a terrible assault on representative democracy because they're acting like Scott Walker is still the governor, even though the voters decided not to reelect Scott Walker because it was Scott Walker, of course, who signed the rig maps back in 2011, which they are now using as the basis to draw new maps.
Matt, if memory serves, in the governor's chamber in the state of Wisconsin, on the ceiling it says, the will of the people is the law of the land. Well, I heard you on my competitor in Rock County yesterday talking about this issue of gerrymandering, and you were doing so on Right Wing Talk Radio, but I thought you made an excellent point. The will of the people is not being done. Republicans, Democrats, independents, 56 referendums you talked about. Matt, I'll let you to do the math on the radio, but tell us the popularity of not having this gerrymandering go on in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, that's the crazy thing, because we have 72 counties in Wisconsin. In 56 of those counties, either by county board resolution or by countywide referendum, the people have said by overwhelming margins that they want to ban partisan gerrymandering and they want independent, nonpartisan redistricting. And that's not what we're getting. There is a bill to give us independent nonpartisan redistricting. We can't even get a hearing on it because Dewey Strobel and Voss won't let it come to a hearing even, much less get a vote. So what the people want, the people aren't getting. 83% of the people want medical marijuana. We're not getting that either. Why aren't we getting what the people want? Because of gerrymandering, because of money in politics, because of hyperpartisanship.
Matt, you stop harshing my buzz. Next year is an election year. Obviously, we'd like to see changed outcomes, but you know, currently, we don't even know what the maps are going to look like, and we've got a Wisconsin Supreme Court that's talking about what a trial in January, and then the federal courts would have to make a decision what after their ruling, or at some point they've got to insert themselves. It just from a pure logistics timing point of view, and of course for these candidates that would like to run for something, you know, like a congressional office or a state senate office or an assembly seat, they don't know what the districts are going to be yet. We may not know that. I mean, hell, you got to start registering for the ballot around April 15th.
Yeah, I think
we got to kind of make your intentions known, Matt. 20 seconds.
March 15th, that's the kind of drop dead date for the Wisconsin Supreme Court and the federal court to come down with a map.
Well, our drop dead point's here. We'll come right back. More Devil's Advocates with Matt Rothschild. We're giving away a book.
I got news for you, pal. They're going to nail us no matter what we do.